Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then in the New Testament, we have a reading from Romans chapter 8. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is it at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
I purposely chose the hymn that we sang first this morning, From Every Stormy Wind That Blows. And that speaks to our day in which we are living right now. It's a stormy day. It's a windy day, and it's blowing in so many different directions and ways and changing, but we are called upon to be at peace with our Maker and with each other, with ourselves, and to realize that God is in control in an uncontrolled world. He's patient. He's long-suffering. But the day is coming that it is so difficult for us to grasp and realize the change that will come, and that God will in some way deal with the whole earth, and he will deal with every one of us. And so it behooves us that we be close to one another in the faith, very close to one another in the Lord, and that we grow together with him. The last hymn that we will sing will balance what I've just said out in this first song that we all sang together. This morning, in the message that I have, it may seem a little different. I have put good time into it, and I've been refreshed myself, and I trust that it will continue in your lives as well. The title is a bit anonymous. It is simply stated that when God doesn't answer. Have you ever felt that way? You needed something. You've reached out and you've prayed the best prayer you ever could. Like old Simon, who fell down the well. And he said he prayed the greatest prayer he had ever prayed on the way down. And God brought him back up again. But we are in that kind of situation, and we find sometimes when we ask God for help, for answers to our prayers, we find many different things happening. And it's this that I want to simply dwell on. It will not be long. You might be able to be out of here before you thought. But I will go as long as I can, okay? And if I go over that, you let me know. I've committed myself, all right? By way of introducing this with the question, when God doesn't answer prayers. Have any of you ever felt as though you prayed and nothing happened? You prayed and there was no answer? And yet you continued to trust God and wait upon him. But when we come to prayer and answered prayer, not unanswered, but that are answered. What kind of a world, what kind of a world would it be if every prayer was answered the way we asked for it? Let me say it again a little differently. What kind of a world would it be if every prayer was answered the way we wanted it to be? A slight difference there. And that by our nature is the way we act. We react, we pray, and we cry out to God, and we wait for answers that sometimes do not come. Maybe this morning, within our congregation here today, perhaps there are those of you who are carrying about an unanswered prayer. You may have prayed this prayer many years ago, and it's almost become a litany with you before God, but you keep asking, but God does not seem to hear. He does not seem to answer. And we sometimes are confused and upset by it, but we need to realize that God's way of answering can be very different from our way of asking. And we need to come with all that reverence before Him. Maybe this morning you have been carrying about an unanswered prayer. Maybe for yourself, it may be physical. It certainly would be spiritual. It would be that which we recognize as our attempt to ask God for His help. This morning, you're not alone if you felt that way, that you've prayed diligently. You've searched Scripture, and you are looking for an answer from God, and He doesn't seem to answer. It's not that He doesn't hear you, but God is greater than we are, and His purposes are greater than ours, and He is even then working out a salvation and a solution to our concern that have brought on our prayers. Maybe this morning you are carrying about this heavy, unanswered prayer, and I have said you're not alone. So be encouraged that others may pray together or alone and wait upon God for the answer. We read in early scriptures in Genesis, we read in Genesis 4, that at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, just because it says men, it doesn't leave out the ladies, okay? But let me say that again. The first prayer that we have in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, then men began to call upon the Lord. I'm sure there were women who were praying too. And they called out to God. And that is our first mention of it. Then we find with Cain and Abel. And Abel's prayer was accepted. It was answered. And his brother was not. And he was disturbed and deflated and angry. The first prayer with specifics that we have, though we're told that when men called upon the Lord, they began to in the name of the Lord, it was of a spiritual nature that they were looking. They were looking for some contact with God. The first prayer in the Bible is an unanswered prayer of Abraham. Abraham was 90, going on 100 years. His wife was 90. And they had no offspring. There were tempting ways of solving the problem, but they did not. They called upon the Lord. And the first prayer in the Bible that Abraham prayed was that Ishmael would not live before God and before him, but that God would provide one who would answer the requirement and the request of God. So the first prayer was an unanswered prayer. And he carried that for a while until God spoke to him in a very wonderful supernatural way and told him that within 1 year, Sarai, his wife, would have a child. And that changed everything for him. So this first prayer, we can build upon it and see how this relates to other situations that we face in different ways. I'm thinking now of a scripture which is in James 4, verse 3, that may help us get a grasp of why we feel our prayers are not answered. And I'm quoting from James chapter 4, verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motive." Sometimes we come bustling into God's presence with demands that we're wanting, and God is pushed off, so to speak. And so we ask with wrong motives, and the reason being that they are wrong motives and God does not answer them is because we want what we want without waiting upon God. And we are in a situation where we are frustrated and not answered. Those who may not be as Christian as this congregation is would either be surprised or not, but how many people there are in the world who make a prayer to God and say, "Lord, please let me win this lottery." There are people that are doing it right at the wheel. Are those guilty chuckles I hear? No, I trust you on this. But the asking has nothing to do with God's will. You're going contrary to it. You're putting your hope in luck. And God is not a God of luck. He is a God of mercy, and he's a God of provision, and a God of love, and one who cares for us. But how often we turn from it. So that's one reason many prayers are not answered. Most lose every time they try. In the book of Acts, we have another example. We have the example of the church in Jerusalem. This was after the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord. And the powers that were not happy with what was happening among the Christians that were forming. And they were gathered, this group of believers was gathered in a particular home, in a house. It seems as though from Scripture that it was full. This is Acts 12:12. That we find it in. And they were there for a prayer meeting. Now certainly, we might think the more that are in the prayer meeting, the better. The more we pray, the better the chance is. But it's not chance. It's waiting on God. And the church of Jerusalem was praying heartily, desperately to God in genuine prayer for Peter to be released from prison. That was a big order, but they took it by faith and trust and cast themselves upon the Lord for the answer. What they didn't realize is while they were desperate in prayer for Peter, the answer of their prayers was knocking at the door. And that door that was knocking was from the hand of Peter. who had been released by an angel of the Lord from the dungeon and found his way to the home that he knew where God's people were. And there they met. I will repeat this phrase. The answer to their prayers was knocking at their door. Sometimes we're blind. We miss it. We don't see it. But God does care. He does answer. He doesn't put up with our foolishness or our lackadaisical approach or our half-hearted approach. Prayer is earnest. And they prayed earnestly. So earnestly that when Peter came and knocked on the door, the only one that recognized him was the maid. And she was so excited to recognize Peter at the door that she ran in to the room to tell them and left him at the door still outside. And then they all timidly looked around and lo and behold, there he was in their midst. What a wonderful story and a wonderful God that has done this. God had already answered their prayers before they realized it. Sometimes that happens. And so I commend that to you. Do not fear. Do not feel that God is not hearing, but be encouraged. Sometimes we are in such a hurry that we haven't waited for God's answer. Could be with a dear wife who's wanting a child and the child doesn't come, but is willing to wait and wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we're in a hurry and we haven't waited for God's answer. God knows best why we're here, why He made us to be here, and our children, and all that is around us. Abraham wanted Hagar to take the place that there might be a woman who could bear a seed. And it caused nothing but trouble and problems. Rachel threw out a demand. Give me a child, else I die. So desperate was her prayer. And it was so difficult in that time. Sometimes we already do not know God's will in the matter. We may know parts and pieces of it. We call upon Him. We pray to Him. But we really do not know God's will in the matter, and unfortunately and consequentially we may lack a misunderstanding of Scripture or a lack of the understanding of what Scripture is. When you have these doubts and these questions that come up, go to Scripture and go before the Lord and ask Him to make clear His word to you. Sometimes our prayers seem not to be answered because they have been hindered by Satan. Satan loves to get into the pot, get into the mix, and to mess things up. We know that. And we read of Daniel in earnestness, prayed to God. And what he received was an answer from Satan's henchman, the head of Persia at the time. I won't try to go into detail on that at this point. Sometimes we are faced with a messenger of Satan, and that was the case in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, and he is the one who makes this call and says that a messenger of Satan came to him and there was a thorn in the flesh. to keep him from exalting himself. It was quite a loaded phrase there. The Satan was thinking that he was on the mend. He was running with the solution he wanted. But God was overseeing it. And in that overseeing of it, he was very careful. And he was searching for the answer from God. I have a few more things to just say. It's not going to be a long message this morning. Tom can leave whenever he already did. Oh, hey, there he is. Good morning. Just checking out. Another reason why our prayers may not or may be answered. Sometimes God has a better answer for us than we have asked. Let me read that again. Sometimes God has a better answer. I think he always does. Has a better answer for us than we have asked. Sometimes we may be too timid in our prayers. The implications may seem overwhelming to us in it. But God, for the most part in the presentation here, has a better answer for us than we've asked. And when we receive that, we rejoice and we tell others and we go in victory. Elijah, great prophet in the Old Testament, a one-man ministry that he had among the people of God and those who were not believing. A very, very hectic and fulfilling life for him. But Elijah was discouraged because the people were not responding. And in that discouragement, he became discouraged. And he asked a request of the Lord. And he said, "Lord, I request to die. Take my life. I'm not accomplishing anything. I'm giving up." I don't think I'm speaking to anyone here today, but if I am, hear me out. Elijah prayed that he would die, that God would kill him, so to speak. He was very down. God's answer, though, was amazing. When God heard his request to die, well, how did God answer it? God's answer was to carry him in a chariot to heaven. He was picked up from off the earth and taken in the chariot of God. That's a very mysterious and difficult phrase in the Old Testament, the chariot of God. God came in his chariot for Elijah. And it doesn't seem as though the wheels touched the ground, but it picked Elijah right up and he went to heaven with the Lord. What a way to go. Be encouraged. Jesus also himself requested not to die. It wasn't just Elijah, but Jesus. He said, "Let this cup pass from me." The answer to that was, God's answer was, the salvation of the world. Had Jesus died in that manner, Jesus' request not to die, I should say, that the answer was that the salvation of the world was involved. And if Jesus had allowed himself to die before the Father, from the Father, where would we be today? The Lord Jesus realized and did not ask any more that he be taken. Salvation for the world. Now I come to a final group that I want to share with you that we may all relate to. And it is in Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, where Paul's request, at this point, was not to die, but Paul requested to be healed from his weakness and his sickness. Three times he was wounded, allowed to be wounded, if you will, of God. And in that, it was a very discouraging moment. Sometimes we seem to get hit over the head again and again and want to give up and blame God. Paul does not do that, but he requested that he be healed. Three distinct times are mentioned when he desired to be healed, and God did not answer his prayer. Think of the consequences of this. We would not know much of anything about the Apostle Paul. He would have gone into dark history. But instead of that, God worked and taught him things that he needed to learn at this time. And in this, we have these things. Paul learned a lot fast. And I hope we all can in our days of misery or hurt or suffering. He learned, first of all, the misery of the thorn. He had, as it were, three thorns of sickness that had come upon him. He prayed for help. God did not give it to him. And he now refers to the misery of the thorn. It's miserable to have a thorn. Picking raspberries or whatever, it hurts. The misery of the thorn. From that misery experience that Paul was allowed by God to have, he learned the mystery. The mystery of the thorn. Where did that thorn come from? Why do I have this thorn? How come everybody else is going free and I'm not? I don't know if it went across his mind that way, but it was hard on him, not just the misery of the thorn, but there was a mystery to it, and he sought to understand the mystery of the thorn. Hopefully this will help some of us if we feel we're in the middle of this. And I'm not picking anybody out. The first one that gets picked is me, okay? So you have the misery of the thorn and then the mystery of the thorn. And with that mystery, you're not going to give up. There's a mystery to be solved, and you want to understand all you can about it. And then thirdly, there is the mastery of the thorn. The mastery of the thorn. God can give us victory in the thorns that we carry. It may be difficult, it may seem miserable, it may be a mystery, and it's for us in God's grace and help to master it. And then there is the ministry of the thorn. And the Apostle Paul bore that all through his life, in weakness, trusting God, and all how he trusted, and all how we need to trust the Lord when these things come into our life. Just because we're Christians does not mean we're going to have instant answers. God knows best. Wait him out. Pray to him. Search your heart. Make sure that there is no wrong motive in what you're asking, and seek to be faithful to the Lord in whatever he puts upon us. The last thing here that I have out of this, out of the thorn, the misery, the mastery, the mastery is the ministry of the thorn. It's as though God relieves the pressure, and we still bear it, but we, by His grace, can live through it and into it. Paul says these wonderful words in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you," God is speaking. "My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we miss that. We don't realize that God gives us what is sufficient. There are times He will give us so much more. But oh, even in these times, we cry out and say, "My grace is sufficient for you," God says. For in power is perfected by weakness. Power is perfected by weakness. Anybody feeling weak? God's power is just around the corner. He's longing to give it to you. Wait upon the Lord. Be faithful to Him. And He will perfect His work in you the rest of your days. May God bless.